everyone, children to senior citizens, loves a good story. And good stories fascinate us, they inspire us, they instruct us, and they pull us together. And through the years, I've seen the power of story. Every year since I've been a pastor, I've had a habit, starting in the fall and ending in early June, to lead a men's group. And the pattern is, in the summer, I fervently pray and I ask God to direct me to the men for this next year. And He led me to 10 men. We had our first meeting this past Tuesday morning. And I saw the same thing happen that I've seen so many years. This was on Zoom, by the way, and most of the men had never met each other. So they're strangers on Zoom. And here's what happened after an hour and a half. They began to become a band of brothers. And here's why. We went around in the first meeting and just got acquainted. And men told their story. And here's what encouraged me. Not only was there a bonding, but there was a commonality in all of the stories. This was my story. At a pivotal point, I entered God's story through Christ, and I've never been the same. Now, if you remove that from our gathering, it wouldn't have been the same. But it put glue on it. And here's what I've noticed about people. We all long to be known. Don't you want to be known and to know other people? I wonder why. Could it be we're created in the image of a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who through eternity have perfectly loved each other? God doesn't just show love, God is love. And so when we're created in the image of a triune God, guess what we're made for? Love, for relationships. And that's why story and relationships mean so very, very much to us. But we all know there's an elephant in the room. We're sinful. We don't love God very well, and we're separated from Him, and we certainly aren't doing a good job at loving each other. But that didn't stop our God, did it? God so loved the world that He gave everything, His Son, so He could pull us back in so we could love Him and love others and find life indeed. Aren't you grateful for the God we worship? Now today we are going to encounter that God. And what I find fascinating, when God wants us to know Him, He introduces us to His story. And that's what the Bible is. It's 66 books unified in one harmonious story that lead to Jesus Christ. And God gets really personal. And that story, if you enter into it, it'll change your life. Today, Exodus chapter 3, one of the most famous stories in the Bible, of Moses encountering God at the burning bush. And if you want to learn how to encounter God, for Him to be real to you, listen to this story. Because it's broken into three parts. First of all, God's story. We will see it through this chapter. And then Moses' story. And then we say, that affects my story. And so here's our theme, and I'd like you to say it with me out loud. One, two, three. God's story and Moses' story add power and purpose to our story. That's what we want to discover today, and let's start with God's story. Now, I love it when I have aha moments in Scripture, and I had an aha. It was so cool. I was reading through Exodus chapter 1, 2, and 3, and I saw something I'd never seen before. In chapter 1, The first time God is ever mentioned is the end of chapter 1, and he's only mentioned three times. The midwives feared God, and God was good to them because they feared God. They were pro-lifers, and they made a difference. Then you come to chapter 2, and at the end of chapter 2, God is mentioned the second time, and this time, five times God is mentioned, stacked up. I've heard their cry. I see. I'm going to come. I'm going to answer. I care. And then when you come to chapter 3, we've got three times, five times. Chapter 3, amazing. God explodes on the scene 31 times. He's like, I was back behind the curtains with Pastor Tom last week. Now I'm dancing on the stage. He's come out and he says 21 times, God, 7 times, Lord, the angel of the Lord, and I am twice. Now, it's pretty obvious. This story is about God, isn't it? So when you go through this and you open it up, look at chapter 3, verse 1, how that chapter starts, and here's what you need to connect. Chapter 3 is showing that God answers prayer. This is the answer to their cry. It's the beginning of the answer. Now, Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. God shows up, meets an 80-year-old senior citizen. We love senior citizens, don't we? Say amen. Amen. I'm a senior citizen. Y'all love me. I love you. 80 years old, and think of his story. First 40 years of his life, miraculously preserved, grew up in Egypt, educated. History indicates he was a great general, a leader, but his heart wasn't in Egypt. He cared about his people in slavery. And he goes out one day, and he sees one of his people being persecuted by an Egyptian. He looks around and he kills the Egyptian, puts him in the sand, comes back the next day, sees the Jews not getting along, and he urges them and says, who made you a prince over us? He knew he had been found out. He's put on a hit list by Pharaoh, and then he flees. He's a fugitive. He's lost everything. Can't help his people, lost his power, goes way off into the Arabian desert. He's a nobody, and he defends 7 women who he meets their dad. He finds a bride. He has 2 sons, and 40 years go by, and he's lost his power, his influence on his people, and he's a nobody, and he's 80, and God shows up. Don't you ever lose heart. Don't write yourself out of the story. God shows up, and notice how he shows up. It's in a burning bush, and it's the angel of the Lord. And it's just fire, but it's an angel. Do you know angels are mentioned 273 times in the Bible? They're flying from Genesis to Revelation. But this is no ordinary angel. This angel wasn't created. This is the angel of the Lord. You'll see in verse 2, the angel of the Lord. Verse 4, it's very clear, the Lord saw Moses and God saw. This is God. That's who the angel of the Lord is. And if you go through the Old Testament, you will see the angel of the Lord is very active. He stopped Abraham from sacrificing Isaac. He oversaw the whole Exodus. He was with the 3 Hebrew youths in the fiery furnace. He appeared to Balaam and his donkey. He predicted in advance to the parents of Samson, Samson's birth. And here's what's unique about the angel of the Lord. When he speaks, it's God speaking. And when he does things, he does what only God can do. And he's worshiped as God, yet he's distinct from God. So who is this? It's the pre-incarnate Christ. Well, how do you know that? I'm glad you ask. Because Jesus said, before Abraham was born, I am. Do you know what he was saying? That was me in the bush, the pre-incarnate Christ. And he's appearing to Moses as fire. Why fire? If you read through Exodus, you'll see that fire is always symbolic of a holy God. You see it here. You see it in the Exodus with the pillar of fire. You see it in the tabernacle. And this fire is self-sustaining. Now, Moses had been in the desert 40 years. He had seen seed pods that could burst into flame. This is miraculous. He had never seen it before because the bush isn't consumed. The fire is self-sustaining. It's not feeding off of that bush, and the bush is fine. So what happens to Moses? Strong Hebrew words. I'm going to turn aside. I got to see this thing. This is amazing. That's telling you how you encounter God. You turn aside. He shows up. He gets your attention. It could be some Christian whose life, wow, why do you love me so much? It could be you're successful, but you feel empty. I need something. It could be that you're thinking and connecting the dots and you're saying, oh, maybe my views are wrong. But you turn aside. He turns aside, and it says in the text, when God saw that Moses turned aside, that fire in the bush speaks. Moses. Didn't you love the way that Duhart did Moses, Moses? Wasn't that good? Moses, Moses. What does that mean? Tells you something about God. I know your story, Moses. I know your name. You're not forgotten. And whenever in the Bible it's two names, the names same time, Moses, Moses, it's for emphasis. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Martha, Martha, you're worried and bothered about so much. Abraham, Abraham, Moses, Moses, it's intimate, it's emotional, it's God saying, come close. And then a contradiction. Back up. Don't get too close. Take your sandals off. You're standing in the dead zone. You ought to be a dead man. This is God of fire, but it's holy ground. Take your sandals off. You've stepped into the presence of God. Do you see a contradiction here? Moses, come close. Back up. Who resolves that tension? I want to be close, but you're sinful and I ought to damn you. Who resolves it? The one in the bush who took the fire of God's wrath on himself on the cross so we could come close. The Bible's a unified story pointing to Jesus Christ. And then God introduces himself to Moses by telling him a story. I am the God of your father, the one back there in Egypt who taught you the scriptures and taught you the stories. And I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I've followed that story and I've given them the promises, and I'm a God who's working in history. This is the God of story, and it's his story. And then God says, look at my heart. This is what makes me unique. There is no other God than me. And when you look at my heart, here's what you see. I've seen the affliction of my people. I've heard their cry. I'm aware of their suffering. I have come down, and I will bring them up out of affliction and take them into a promised land. And I'm listing by name six nations. And in Genesis, it says those nations had 400 years to repent, and the iniquity is full. I'm taking them down, and I'm going to put my people in that land. And I'm hearing their cry, and I'm coming down. Now, don't miss God's story. Pay attention. This is what God is like. He takes the initiative. His timing is perfect. He reveals himself. He's the God who's holy and fire. He has provided for your sins. He has a plan in history. He's sovereign over the nations. He is like no other. And he hears the cry of people and answers prayer. And the big thing this God does, he always does it. I love to take people out of slavery and set them free. And the ultimate slavery, folks, is sin. And the ultimate freedom is in Christ. And this story points to Christ. Now see it from Moses' point of view. He's been in the desert 40 years. He messed it up in Egypt. He's on a hit list. If I were Moses, I'd be saying, yeah, God, come on, do it. Amen, it's about time, yeah. Go, God, now go, I'll back you up. And then there's a shift. Oh, is there a shift? This is where we all get uncomfortable. Come here, Moses. Look at verse 10. Big shift. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt. Well, back up, God. Let's go back to you. Nope, Moses, I've shown you who I am because this is how I always work. When you see me and you really hear my story, you enter it. You're on first string, Moses. I'm going to work through you. Now, I love Moses' response. Who am I? And God's saying, bingo. I remember a time 80 years ago when you're saying, I'll tell you who I am. I can wipe these people out. How'd that work out for you, Moses? Who am I? Now you're broken. Now you're humble. Now you're teachable. And I can use you, Moses. Please don't miss some of the ways we can see how God works. God's timetable is different than ours. We want, in our culture, I want to be fixed tomorrow. He says, no, this is a long journey. It took me 80 years to get Moses ready. How are you doing? And here's the pattern. God cuts along. He puts within you a dream, a vision. Moses wanted to deliver his people. And then you go through the death of the vision. It looks like he forgot you. He put you on the shelf. Not going to happen. And at the right time with God's power, rebirth of a vision. And Moses has just stepped in to rebirth. And God is focusing on Moses' heart. Here's another pattern which God always cuts along. First, I'm going to get your attention. A burning bush moment, make you stop, turn aside. Then I'm going to alter your views with my truth of who I am and who you are. And always, always, then I'll give you an assignment. You've got a job to do because you've come in contact with the one true God. Now, this is so helpful because, folks, we always fall off the horse on both sides, one extreme to the other. Some folks are so big on God doing it. He's sovereign. He'll do it. Go, God. Have a great time. They totally ignore. Come here, Moses. You have a responsibility. Other folks are so big on their responsibility. I got to do it. And God, would you bless my plans? Both are wrong. They're to be welded together. God works. He's awesome. He does it. But he always says, come here, and he puts your name in there. You're on first string. You have a responsibility. This is what I'll do through you. We're going to partner. Philippians chapter 2, 12 and 13, the Apostle Paul says, work out your salvation. That's your job. Grow, work it out. Why? For it's God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. I'm far more shaped by my culture than I realized. And I've been a pastor 43 years, and in my early years, culture shaped me more than Christ in this way. I fought the way to lead a church. Cast a vision, get on board with a vision, go for it, and ask God to bless it. And then I learned through being broken, you got it backwards, son. Your job is to show them where I'm working. Your job is to show them me and the promises of God, and you join me in my work, not the other way around. And you do that, you can't stop the church. That's what he's doing with Moses. And that's what some of you need to hear. Some of you are sitting there and you are in the dumps because your plans that you wanted God to bless, he went pfft. And maybe he's telling you there's a burning bush. Hello? Did you ever consult with me? Are you following my plans? That's what's happening with Moses. And so Moses speaks again. Not only who am I, but okay, now if, I'm not saying I'm doing it, but if I go to Pharaoh and I tell him and I talk to those elders and they say, what's the name of your God? What do I say? And then God answers. And he doesn't start by telling him his name. He tells him his being. I am who I am. I am. That's not his name, that's his being. What does that mean? I constantly am. I had no beginning, I had no end. I'm outside of time. I created time. There is no rival with me because I'm the only being with no beginning and no end. And everything depends on me. Your life is hanging by a thread and I hold it. I have no rivals. I am constant. I am perfect. I am the ultimate standard of everything. That's who you've just encountered. And now that you know who I am, my being, here's my name. And my name in your Bibles, it's L-O-R-D capitalized. It's Yahweh. That's used 6,800 times in the Old Testament. And that Yahweh, that God, that Lord, he's the great I am. Now from here on, God is going to be talking to Moses. Moses is shutting up for a bit. And God says, Moses, here's what you're going to do. You go get those elders. They'll listen to you this time. You tell them, I am sent you. And you tell them my heart, that I've heard your cry, and I promise you, I'm going to deliver you and put you in a new land. Go tell those elders that. They'll listen. And then he tells Moses the future. It's like, pull back the curtain. I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen, and it's coming from me. Moses, you go to Pharaoh. And he's not going to let you go unless it's under compulsion. There's a purpose for that, Moses. That gives me the opportunity to do my plagues and show my signs and launch an attack on every Egyptian god. And sprinkle through Exodus, you see it, that they may know, that they may know, that they may know there is only one God. And your gods don't exist. So it boils down to this. It's either worship the one true God or worship a cheap substitute, an idol. That's what God is up to. And then he says this. I know you've been in slavery 400 years. They never paid you a cent. You're getting paid. Because I'm going to give you favor and you're going to plunder the whole nation. They're going to load you up with silver, gold, clothes. You won't be able to carry it all. Build a tabernacle with tons of stuff left over. I'm a just God. Now that's Moses' story. There's God's story. So how do we get in on this? Go back to our theme. God's story and Moses' story add power and purpose to our story. Well, how? By looking to who the story points to. Who is the angel of the Lord? It's Jesus. Who said before Abraham was born, I am Jesus. Who is the greater than Moses, the greater leader, the greater lawgiver, the greater deliverer? It's Jesus Christ. And when you believe that Christ died for you and rose again, and the Bible is about him, and you believe that, two things will happen to your story. You'll get a power you never had before, the power of the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Tell me, is there better power than that? And you get a new purpose. You're not living for you anymore. You're living for him. You've joined his redemption and restoration team. You can't be stopped. Lock me up, put me in a prison. Good, I'll start a prison ministry. Let's go. You're indestructible. You ever triumph in Christ. So here's our problem, folks. I know God's story. I know Moses' story. They don't have a thing to do with me. Yes, it does. It's for you. So your story changes. So let this encourage you. Some of you are playing that old record, I'm a failure, God forgot me. No, he did not. He knows you by name. And he is trying to get your attention. Stop, listen. Listen to the story of God. He's never changed. He's working. Listen to the story of Moses. If he can do it with Moses, he can do it with you. And do you see the parallels? Jesus said to us, listen to me, I'm greater than Moses. All authority in heaven and earth given to me, and I'll always be with you. So what are you going to do with that? Go make disciples. That's your job, church. Love God, love people. Show my glory so that when you walk into the room, people are saying, something's different about you. Who's your God? That's what this is about. We've all got to make a decision today. Here's what can get you in trouble. If you hear God's word, it really inspires you, and thy word I've hid in my notebook, and you don't do anything about it, you're in danger. You'll get a hardened heart. But when you hear it and he convicts you and you act on it, that's when the power of God is unleashed. So would you join me in making decisions in light of what God's shown us in his word? If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, do it right now. Make this your burning bush moment. Just believe that he died for you and rose again and invite him into your life. And if you've wandered off worshiping other cheap gods, repent and come back, believer, and hear God's story and Moses' story and connect the dots so that in Christ the power of God and the purpose of God is lived out in you. Lord, make this real in us. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.